Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
I'm just going to share a few of these different scriptures here. I'm going to jump over a few that I already shared last week and then go into this one. So I did want to start with this one right here, and then we'll get into the message. So today and last week and the week before that, you're kind of receiving two messages in one Sunday. Scripture says this in Romans 6:4. It says, "We have therefore been buried with him," with Christ, "through baptism in death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory and the power of the Father," so it was the glory and power of the Father that raised Jesus Christ, "we too might habitually walk in the newness of life, abandoning our old ways." So I'm telling you. So here's the excitement. When you see people like getting up out of that baptism pool, like if you ever seen somebody like jump up and they're just like, ah! You know, some people will say something like this if you're from these traditions. Boy, they caught the Holy Spirit while they were jumping out of water. A lot of people are just excited. And they're excited because one of those, that last part, like I have this newness of life and I'm now on a journey of abandoning the old ways. And guess who's going to help me with that? Christ Jesus is going to help me. And so the baptism, Jesus died, was buried, and then he was raised from the dead. So this physical baptism thing that we do is just really resembling what it is that he has done. I don't have the scripture on here, but I wanted to read this. This is in Romans 6 as well. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The reason why I'm reading that, it's going to tie into the next scripture I'm going to share in a moment, is that salvation or being saved or being redeemed or being rescued from eternal damnation, from eternal death, can I just put it this way, being redeemed or rescued from hell is a gift. We do not have to work for it. So again, it says the wages of sin. So here it is. We were all born into sin because of what Adam did. So every person born after Adam because of what they did in the Garden of Eden is born into sin. So I put it this way. We off track before we can even get on track. Like we're separated from God. So we are already sinners. So the path that we are going down spiritually is death, spiritual death, if we don't receive Jesus into our life as our Lord and Savior. But when we receive the gift of God who is in Jesus, we have eternal life. So we're no longer on that path heading towards damnation, hell, right? We are now headed towards eternal life. And now, so I'll put it this way, your seat in heaven is secure. When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, your seat in heaven is secure. Now what you're doing is just working out your soul salvation. You're working it out and you're walking it out. And that's the reason why we come to church and Bible study, fellowship, and we do all those different things. But again, baptism is a reminder to me that, can I put it this way? Baptism is a reminder that I'm no longer going to hell. Woo-hoo! I mean, praise God. So for that, you know, moment that, you know, I'm under the water, you know, I kind of sort of remember my moment. That moment that I'm under the water is like, woo, it's a reminder of like hell. Then it's like, guess what? Hell no longer has a grip on me. Death doesn't have a grip on me. Sin doesn't have a grip on me. I belong to God. And that's the celebration moment. So can I say this, that in our life, if you ever like forget how free you are in Jesus Christ and you're getting baptized next week, you know what I would do after baptism? I will wear this when I get baptized and then I'll put this on the wall and put this on the wall in the area where you wrestle in your mind about, am I saved? Am I not? Am I saved? Am I not? You dancing back and forth. Put this thing on the wall as a reminder that I'm no longer bound to sin, death, the grave. None of that stuff has a grip on me any longer. I am saved. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And let this be a reminder So if you've already got baptized some time ago, get something that is a constant reminder to you that you are no longer. And that's for anyone, because I've been there. Anyone that keeps wrestling with, am I really saved? Like, how say it? Is there different levels of being saved?
No.
Like, that person looks saved. That person looks like they've been saved. No. There's no degree of being saved. And it's the same thing with sin. Sometimes it's a man, that's that person, they did that, boy, they a sinner. Well, guess what? The Bible says so many different things. If you hate a person in your heart, almost like you didn't kill them, guess what it's saying? He said, if you look at a woman in a lustful way in your mind, you've already sinned against God in your heart. But that person committed adultery, you already did in your heart. That's a sin. So sin is sin is sin is sin. But that is the reason why we need Jesus Christ to stand as a mediator for us, because even those areas where I am ignorant or don't even want to admit that I messed up, and if it wasn't for Jesus Christ in my life and I died today, I will go to hell because I don't have Jesus in my life. So it's not about I'm checking every box. It's not about all my I's are dotted, my T's are crossed, and I am just trying my best. Yes, every single day of my life, I'm going to try my best to live my life pleasing to God. But if I mess up, I'm not going to hell. If I have Jesus Christ in my life, if I've received him as my Lord and Savior, if I fall off the wagon, I'm going to put it that way. If I fall off the wagon, I'm not going to hell. And anybody here, if you can just get that in your heart, if you are struggling with that, you have got to let this get down deep, 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 deep down in your heart. Because you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen is that if you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you know, it's a done deal, right? You see, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and all of that, right? And then you live your life here on earth like, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Then one day you're going to die, and then, you know, when the moment comes and you see Jesus face to face, and you're going to ask him, like, how did I get here? And he's asking, what do you mean, how do I got here? You got here because of me. And I can imagine people probably arguing, if I'm just kind of making this up, but I can imagine people arguing with Jesus and saying, but I'm not supposed to be here because right before I died, I messed up. And Jesus is saying, but you're here. But I'm not supposed to be here. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No person can get to the Father except through or by Jesus. Could you imagine living your entire life on this earth as a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, living your life as if every moment you messed up, it's like this, like, I got a seat in heaven. Gosh darn it, I messed up. Now I got reservations in hell. Okay, I came to church and I repented and I asked God to help me and all that. Now I got reservations in heaven, and that's see, but maybe they're keeping a seat in hell for me just in case I mess up. No. It's like what Jesus said on the cross. It is finished. Jesus is not coming back to this earth to die on a cross again. So his death, burial, resurrection has the power. See, this is what it has two things. It has the power to keep the believer out of hell, keep the believer out of hell. If you didn't believe yet, surrender your life, your destination is hell. But the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus has the power to keep the believer out of hell because they're headed to heaven. But the power of God also has the ability to help us in our living while on this earth so that somebody can see your light so shine before them that they may see his good works being manifested through you and glorify God. But if I'm wrestling with whether or not I'm going to heaven or hell, then I can't focus on just living my life pleasing to God here because I'm so afraid that if I step off the curve the wrong way, I'm gonna go to hell. Or if I pick that thing up one more time, I'm going to hell. And that type of mindset will cause us to just say it's not even worth going to church. It's not even worth picking up my Bible. It's not even worth praying. It's not even worth surrendering my life. It's not even worth going all in because I keep messing up. And every time I mess up, I think that God don't love me. Let me tell you something. How wide, how deep, how long. You cannot, and I think I said this last week, you cannot escape the love of God. God loved us before we were even born. Like, we can't, it's inescapable. But I feel like sometimes we're trying to escape. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone, maybe growing up, or with a child, and you're trying to love them, and they keep trying to sabotage the relationship? And that's what we're doing sometimes as believers. You ever prayed? I know I've prayed this before. So what I'm sharing with you is where I've been. You ever prayed before? God, I'm a wretched sinner. I'm so messed up. I don't know how you can love somebody like me. If your prayer stops there, you still got some growing to do. So let's just say you start there. God, I'm so messed up. I keep messing up. God, I don't know why. I thought I was going to do better. But you know what, God? I'm asking you to forgive me. And I believe that it is by your grace that you're going to help me to grow in this area. So don't stop over here like a beggar. Don't stop over here like, I use this word, like a bastard, like somebody that doesn't have a father. You have a heavenly father that's over here like the prodigal son situation. Arms constantly open saying, all I'm doing is waiting for you. Come on back. And a lot of it is right here. Start thinking. So if you get the t-shirt next week, I mean, you can wear it. Wear it on them days when you know you're struggling. What's your struggle then? We all have it. There's one day during the week when it's just like, it's a struggle day. If I can get to the message today, I'm going to share a little bit where that's coming from. But if you don't add a t-shirt, see, sometimes we put it on our bumper. You can't see it. So it's proclaiming to the world that I'm a Christian, but you can't see it. So you know what? Rather than putting a bumper sticker, why don't we put something that every day we can say, I am redeemed. I am love. I have a purpose. So find some. Unless for you, reading the Bible may be enough. But come on, I'm talking to the people. You know who I'm talking to. Like, every once in a while, you have this argument in your mind. And what I'm saying is that if we can just get to this point where we can cancel that argument and you can walk away from here today or in the next few days or whatever, however long it takes, where you say, okay, this thing called salvation, okay, I got that locked down. Not locked down like I'm perfect and walking it out. Locked down, I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm rescued, I ain't going to hell. What's next? But if not, you're still back here at the elementary things. And I am telling you, the enemy will play with your mind each and every day. If you don't grow from that stage, you are saved. If you have received Christ, you are saved, redeemed, rescued from hell, death. Now this next stage is for people that have moved on from that. Now the intensity comes to try to get you back. So if the enemy cannot argue any longer with you about going to heaven and hell, if that's a done deal, now he wants to stop you from representing the kingdom of God on earth. What is that? You walking in your purpose. You walking in the power of God, the confidence of God. That's the next stage. Because he can't argue with you about you going to hell. Because you don't believe that no longer. So what are you going to fight you on? You can't sing in the choir because you ain't got it all together. You know what you go back on? I'm redeemed, rescued, saved, delivered. So therefore, if God is leading me to sing in the choir and he knows everything about me, then who am I to stop myself from doing it? If God, I'm like so excited about this right here. If God knows everything about me, he knows my habits, he knows my murmuring and complaining, he knows the things that I trip with, all of that. But yet he's still saying, but Will, I want you to still do this. Then who am I to fight with him if he's leading me to do it? So who are we fighting with?
Us.
Amen? Who are we fighting with? And sometimes we blame it on the devil. And the devil like, why are you blaming me? All I did was initiated it, and it's now you and you. It's you fighting you in the ring. All he did was agitate it. It's like the school, Phil, none of y'all ever did this, but in some schools, they would have fights in the yard. It'd be like this. This is back, you're real petty stuff.
I bet you won't knock that off my shoulder. You knock that off my shoulder, we're gonna fight.
And then there was this agitator. Oh,
I bet you won't, I bet you won't.
Now this one, like, you know, TikTok. Oh, sometimes that's the enemy. Oh, I bet you won't. I bet you won't. And then, you know what happens? The enemy says, all right, I'm done there. But guess who's still fighting? And if you if you pull back the camera, you would realize, and this is one of the most scariest things in our life, when you zoom back and you look at the situation you're going through, and then you realize that there's only one person in this fight, and it's me, and I'm fighting me. And truthfully, at times without God and support, I'm the toughest person to fight. You know why? Because I know everything about me. And even in my subconscious or unconscious, there's even thoughts about things that I experience that I don't even know that I'm fighting with. So I become the hardest person to fight without God or without my brother and sister. But I would like to offer to you today that the battle that you're experiencing may not be against what somebody else did to you. It might just be what you're doing to yourself. And I don't understand fully the phrase cancel culture, but what I think is that maybe we need to start dismissing some thoughts or dismissing some things from these fights that we're in so that we can see clearly what we're up against. It's too many people talking. It's too many voices. I don't know what I'm fighting against. And so God today is saying this. This is part of our message with Abram. And when God said, I need for you to leave your country, leave your relatives, leave your father's house and go to a place that I'm going to show you. A lot of that was, if you can see this, it was trying to get Abram to shift to a new way of thinking, to shift to a new way of living. His family was worshiping God, to shift to a new spiritual mindset. And for some of us, we've got to dismiss some things. I just don't want to say people. But we got to dismiss some things. It's too crowded. It's too crowded, y'all. The moment that you get up from praying to God, you run right into another thing. It's too crowded. Lord Jesus, help me in this situation. As soon as you finish, there's like something else. So tell whatever the things are that's in your space that I need a break from you. Listen, I need to test this relationship and see if you are worth staying in my space. Now, for husband and wives, I am talking to you. Amen. And I'm speaking more on like a spiritual, like mental, it may be physical things that you have in your home. But what I pray that you are hearing what I'm saying is that sometimes we're talking to God, we're reading the Bible, we're worshiping, but that distraction is like waiting right outside the door. And I don't have space to let like God's word to get in my soul and in my mind so that my thinking can be different, because it's so crowded. It's like reading a scripture like, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then I'm reading that, and then immediately I step into another space and it says something contrary. So I never got enough time to receive what God had to say. So what I'm saying is, what's in your space that's crowding your devotional space, that the moment you step outside of that door, it's right there? So maybe before going into the devotional space, you need to turn off some other stuff, because you know when you come out, it's going to be right there waiting for you. There's a scripture dealing with Cain and Abel, New Testament, book of Genesis. And God said, Cain, he said, sin is crept at your doorstep and it wishes to have you. And I remember reading that scripture a long time ago, and this is what I saw, is that like outside the door of Cain, sin, which was him wanting to murder his brother, was waiting there. And Cain had a decision to make. God was talking to him, but God was letting him know, the moment you step outside the door, sin wants to get you. But you've got to make a decision. Are you going to yield to it or not? Hey, here's another idea. Don't go out that door. But I have to, Pastor Will. I have no other doors to go out of. Yes, you do. And that's what I believe God is going to reveal to you this week. Your other options that you are not seeing because you think that this is your only way out. The only way for me to handle this week is by doing this. And God is saying, there is another way, my son and my daughter. There's another way, but you got to spend enough time with me to get it. Because God's insight has all of these things that it has to try to get past in order to make sense to us. And that's called renewing of the mind. So what is, think about this for a moment. What is right outside your door of devotion, your prayer time, your reading time, your church time, right outside this door, right outside this door, right in the parking lot, there is something waiting for someone. And you're going to get in a car, and it's going to be as if you weren't even in church. And you know what I'm talking about. It's like Dr. Heckel. Am I saying it right? And Mr. Hop, Jekyll, Hyde, what? Jekyll and Hyde. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But this is real, and that's real. But you got to treat this like it's real. What do I mean by that? That means that while you're here, you got to take it in. Come on. And if your mind is fighting you right now, you've got to say, no, I got to receive this. I got to believe this. I got to receive this. I got to believe this. God, you're better for me. I know I can overcome this. This is going to be great. This is going to be awesome. We're going to make it. Yes. And you got to receive it while you're in this atmosphere. Because for some of you, when you walk out of here, it's going to be the opposite. You're not good. You can't overcome it. And we need you. And all them other types of things. So you've got to prepare yourself for battle. It's real. But it's not for us to be intimidated with. You know why? Because we already won. The reason why the battle is so intense is that the enemy does not want somebody else to get hold of what you've gotten hold of. Because if you let your light shine, then they're going to see your good works. Again, they're going to glorify God.
Amen.
So even shifting the mindset, why am I in this battle? Why is this so hard? Why can't I kick it? Shift your mind. What if it's about what's on the other side? I'm not talking about that you're already seated secure in heaven. I'm talking about on the other side of this challenge. What's on the other side? Who needs to see your life on the other side that the enemy is fighting you this hard for you not to make it or not to be consistent? So what if it's not just about you? What if it's about others as well? Now the fight becomes way more worth fighting because it's not just about me. There's somebody else that needs to see that God loves them in whatever way. Amen? Man, this is just part of my message, but we just out here. I feel like I'm like out on a boat right now, and we just out here. You saw the boat thing earlier. Yeah? Amen. Let me just show you something real quick through scripture. So somebody say, well, what did Pastor Will talk about?
He was just up there talking.
Well, where scripture did he come from? He didn't even get to the scripture. I just start here. But Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that is, sustain all their grazing and water needs while they lived near one another, for their possessions were too great for them to stay together. Can I say this? And this may be for everybody, maybe it's for some people. You are growing, and you're growing in spaces that other people are growing in. That's not the problem. So if you're growing and somebody else is growing, hey, I got these great ideas, well, I'm growing in the Lord. Don't start fighting because we're growing. This might be more for some of these married couples, or if you're dating and all that, like, oh man, you know, God is showing me this great thing. And all of a sudden we start getting upset that, oh, God talked to you now. I remember when Tremaine and I first got together, I wasn't saved, and she was saved, and I was like trying to understand the Bible, and Tremaine like be praying and everything. And I was like, how come I can't pray like that? And I used to get upset. Like, we watching a movie, Tremaine, like, hold on, I gotta go pray. I'm like, yeah. But then I got it as I began to grow in my relationship with Christ. I was like, oh. So if any relationships in here right now, one of you are growing and maybe the other one is not as growing, please don't fight over somebody growing in their relationship with Christ. Please don't fight over a person starting to see what they want to do in life. And that's what was happening with Abram and Lot. Like, they were both being successful in the same space. But note, it doesn't say that they start fighting one another, does it? It just says that they both were growing. So the issue may not be between you and I. And there was strife, fighting, and quarreling between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. Stop right there. So Abram and Lot is growing. They're growing in their possessions. They're growing in what it is that God is blessing them with. But the fight is not between Abram and Lot. The fight is between their herdsmen. So if you, in your household, your relationship, whatever this dynamic is, you're starting to see a fight. This, again, you need to back up and find out, who are we fighting against? Where is the agitation coming from? Is it between us, or is it the folks that we're hanging out with? Is it the atmospheres and the environments? Is it the influences that's causing a fight? Because the fight should not happen because you're growing. The issue is possibly the other folks. And I just want you just kind of pause for a moment. Think about the other folks. And again, it may be people. It may be, I'm going to just go down the whole thing, people, places, and things, right? You know, it might be people, places, and things. See, and then we get home, we start fighting because of the environments that we were in. Check your environment. If you leave home peaceful, you go out, you come home fighting, is it your home or is it where you were? And this is for anybody here. Check the environments that you are in. Then the last part says, now the Canaanites and the Canaanite and the Perizzite were living in the land at the same time, making grazing of the livestock difficult. That is the spiritual area. Because the Israelites at some point were supposed to kick out the Canaanites and the Perizzites, but they decided not to later on in the book of Exodus. So here's the bottom line, and I'm going to just drive this home. Is the issue with you, if you're married, with your mate, if you're dating, with your partner? Is it with your family, if you're single? Or is it the herdsman? Or is it that you got some enemies in the camp that you need to kick out? That you're letting linger, and that's the spiritual. So spiritual, natural, and then us. And you have to know what you are fighting, because the fight may not be here. The agitation may not be here. It might be here or spiritual. And so I'm challenging us this week, and I pray that God will give all of us eyes to see, that as we go into prayer, God, help me check my environment. And then God, help me check the temperature spiritually, because what I'm dealing with down here may not be about down here. It might be boom, boom. Y'all see that? But if your head is down here, you just get on my nerves. I just can't wait until this job. I'm bothered. You're not backing up and you're not seeing, like, oh man, maybe I need to stop eating lunch with you. Maybe I need to pull down some strongholds, spiritual. Amen?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not here. Why would you, for married folks, why would you bring this person into my life, God? It is just going to bring me pain and headache. But maybe God's like, because I'm not doing that. Y'all two need to back up. What's this going on? Level two. And then what is the spiritual battle that's taking place that you need to start praying against? Whatever it is. Amen. Does this make sense? I pray that this makes so much sense that you just be like, as soon as you walk in the house and turn on the lights, you be like, dang, I need to stop. And then as soon as you get out of here, because you know you don't want to check your text messages while you're in church, as soon as you get in the car, like you check your text messages, you'll be like, I probably shouldn't respond to that person. And so, and all of those, I'm praying that your eyes be so open that you begin to see that level two and level three is the reason why you're experiencing some issues at level one. Amen? Please, please, because if you do not kick out the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and you go into this next battle, it's going to be challenging. And that's a word of, like, hey, heads up. So at this level that you're at right now, deal with it. Amen. Man, I hope that I literally just want to walk around and be like, is that clear? Is that clear? Is that clear? Is that clear? And you get it. You get it. You got it. You're tracking, you know, like you got it. But you know what? It's not enough just to be like, I think I understand. And guess what now? Man, we got to like do. Start simple. Please don't start like at a place that you know you shouldn't be starting at. I ain't going out to lunch with my dad then. Is that the issue? Is your dad the issue?
I ain't going to hang out with that family because they, you know, and all that. Please don't just make it, pray and ask God, like, who's the herdsman that's dealing with the strife and stuff, right? Because all that, and it's real. And then who are the Canaanites and the Perizzites, which is really the enemies of Israel, which would really, if they linger in the land, they're going to cause the Israelites to do something spiritually that they're not supposed to do. So who, what's going on at this level that is causing you to do something spiritually that you shouldn't be doing, but who also down here is causing strife and discord, and bottom line is you don't need that in your life.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.